Hi, and welcome.
I'm Z.
And I'm Keith.
And we're going to tell you about the movie that we just watched. But first, a little bit of a heads up.
Some of the movies we watched deal with heavy subject matters.
In order to talk about these emotionally delicate things and the heavy subject matters that we sometimes cover, we add humor and crude language to add some levity and to process our own trauma.
If that doesn't feel fun or safe for you, we completely understand. Please take care of yourself first and foremost.
And we spoil the end of pretty much every movie that we watch.
Now you know. On with the show. No more fucking Adam. Abba. I almost said Adam.
Your throat. It was like.
Racist. What's up? Welcome, everyone.
Hi. Interesting enough, I woke up yesterday and I looked at Instagram and it said that the post that I'd made for the newest episode, which at the time of yesterday was the Silence of the Lambs episode, it was like 26 people liked this. And I was like, holy shit. And I went to Instagram and looked and it was like one person liked this. And I was like when I looked at my Instagram, like the Instagram I was on, it said 26 people liked this. And so when I switched over to the ZK Pod Instagram, it was like one person like this. What? And then when I switched back, it was like one person like this. And I was like, what the fuck? It said it on all of them. It said like a bunch of people liked all of them. And then it went in when I checked the ZNK Pod Insta, it said you were the only person liked any of them. And I was like, none of this, I don't think any of this is true. There's no way right. that like nobody liked any of it.
Right.
But whatever. Because I've been trying not to tag it so much because I saw a thing that said like if you put too many tags on it, it considers it spam. So I was like, okay, if I don't tag it a bunch. So I was like, oh my God, it worked immediately. And then I was like, oh, never mind. Instagram was just like, fuck you. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah, you should follow us on Instagram. And like our posts on Instagram.
They're fun.
Yeah, they are fun. I have a lot of fun putting them together. I put them together. I mean, it's basically our podcast. And all the promo we do is to make each other laugh. So I don't know why more people aren't, aren't excited about that.
I don't.
Everything Keith does in the, or not everything, but a lot of the things that Keith does is specifically to try to make me laugh. And when I listen to the podcast, I'm in the room next to the one he's in usually. And because we're never together, we don't even record this in the same room.
We're doing this over Zoom.
he knows if he can hear me laughing that he did good.
Yeah, it's my main motivation.
Yeah. If you haven't listened to the Silence of the Lambs episode, you absolutely should, if nothing else than the way that it ends. I lost my absolute fucking shit over it. I literally was like screaming about it. And
I was like, this could fall flat.
It's just that it kept going. That was the thing. It was like, at first I was like, okay. I mean, yeah. And then it looped and I was like, wait. And then it kept looping. Oh man. Sometimes I think, I don't know. I'm assuming you can hear me hit my fist on the desk.
I can. It's the best.
I get so mad. Anyway, this time.
It's Pride.
It's our first Pride episode. We watched The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
It turns out I have seen this entire movie. But there's huge parts I did not remember. So
I feel like I saw everything except for like the end when they're singing ABBA at the end. I had no memory of that. That was the only thing I had no memory of. So I'm wondering if I left the theater because I watched it at the theater. I'm wondering if I left to help with like concessions or whatever.
I see.
Or like something. So I'm like, did I not actually sit through the end? Because I had no memory of it. Everything else, I was like, I know, I've seen this, you know. Uh-huh. But that, I was like, what the fuck? I don't remember this whatsoever. But yeah. Apparently, I read this in the trivia, Terrence Stamp said that he performed, because he plays a trans woman in it.
Right.
And he said he performed it every day, like when he was performing as Bernadette or whatever, he performed every like scene, like he was the most beautiful woman. Like that's how he performed it.
Nice.
Which I feel like bleeds through. But the director gave the, I guess, makeup artist the instruction to make him as ugly as possible.
What the fuck?
Which I don't think that bleeds through. And so, or like the costume designer or something. And he didn't know. He didn't watch his dailies. Like he doesn't watch his dailies. Okay. So he didn't know how he looked at all, which is confusing to me. And I guess like he didn't know how he looked until the premiere and the, I mean, this is what IMDb trivia said.
Yeah.
The fucking like makeup artist or whatever person apologized to him.
To the director?
To Terrence. Stamp. I was like, what? First of all, I don't think Bernadette is ugly at any point. And honestly, I was so impressed with that wig. I like couldn't believe it. I was like, for the 90s, and this being like, I mean, obviously it had a budget because of the fucking costumes, but I'm like, that wig is so impressive. That wig is like passable. And I can tell a wig so easily. I can spot a wig. Like
at 50 paces.
Oh my God. It's my biggest pet peeve is when, especially when they do reshoots movies and like someone has a wig, I can spot it so quickly. Like and it's so painful and I hate it. And the thing I hate is that they're acting like you can't tell.
Right.
And I'm like, fuck off.
Well, I was just thinking too, I just watched a video by Matt Baume, one of my go-tos, especially for analyses of particularly like past queer representation in media.
Yeah.
Like he does a lot. I end up watching him a lot when it comes to, he does my favorite things that he does is talking about queer characters in like 70s and 80s television.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. 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 Okay.
Yeah. So, but he's got a great one of my favorite things is he does bios. Like he's got a great one on Jim Nabors. Mm-hmm. That's the one where I learned the whole thing about like how as it was just a gag, but then there was a rumor because of this that Rock Hudson and Jim Nabors
had a
relationship. Mm-hmm. And he has a great one on Paul Lynde. Anyway, he's got some. Anyway. So I just watched his video on Priscilla.
Yeah. Nice.
And what was I going to say? Oh, in just because of that and seeing footage again, I realized like Stamp doesn't really seem to change his voice at all.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Seems like just his natural speaking range.
Yeah,
at
yeah,
least.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And I thought that was an interesting choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And his physicality is.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's unfeminine, but it's definitely
it's not like comical.
Yeah.
It's similar like how we talked about from the Adventures of Sebastian Cole what's his name? Agent Coulson.
Clark Gregg.
Clark Gregg. The way that he performed.
Yeah.
It was like
really different.
Yeah, but it wasn't like trying to be like masculine, but it wasn't overly feminine.
Yeah,
it wasn't walking, know, and so I always really appreciate when, you know, I mean, obviously cis men should not be playing trans women,
right?
But I appreciate in the past when it's been done and you see that their performance of it wasn't performing how they, like a caricature of, right, of the idea of what feminine is.
Right. It's, and especially like just, in contrast, yeah, to like the other two.
Yeah, who, exactly. Who essentially do that.
Yeah. Adam, yeah, slash Felicia, yeah, is definitely the, I would say, the most outward, sort of, yeah, stereotypical flamboyant gay, yeah, in that, yeah, way. Yeah. And there is similar dynamics in Tu Wong Fu, where, yeah, Swayze's character, I forget her name, but like...
Mm-hmm. Adam Zappel.
Yeah. He's much more the... Right. You know, and I think a little bit it's supposed to be age.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, which I feel like tracks.
Yeah.
Especially for the 90s of like, no, it's kind of like a, it, for better and worse, and I mean this, I'm not, this term gets thrown around and weaponized, but like respectability politics.
Right, yeah, yeah,
it's,
yeah,
like, no, we have to represent.
Right, yeah.
You know, yeah, and, mm-hmm, be upright and,
right,
that kind of thing.
And I think the interesting thing is that, like, I, like, there's, like, weird debates over whether or not trans women can do drag, which is silly, or, like, whether it's drag, you know, if, you know, you're a trans woman or whatever. And this movie doesn't even remotely have that question. It's just, like, yeah, she's doing drag with us. And they don't call her a guy. I mean, like, Felicia's an absolute bitch to her, but, yes, they hate each other and they don't like, yeah, each other. So it's a whole rival thing. And
yeah, apparently the I didn't know how, given how it was said in the movie, but Bob refers to the lay girls.
Yeah.
It's lay girls as in like French. That, yeah, was a real drag troupe.
Oh shit.
And they were on TV in the 60s or something.
Oh wow. You know,
and that's not all they did, obviously,
right? Yeah. They,
and one of them was a trans woman, and
oh wow,
had a TV role on like some, wow, show, and was a known, was, yeah, out, yeah, essentially,
yeah.
And as such is like the first known trans person on television.
Wow, that's amazing.
yeah
I didn't know. Yeah, but yeah, I like that they don't, there's no question about it. There is, it's not, right, like, well, it's easier for you, or like, oh, you're cheating, or there's, they don't even, there's not, right, even remotely, they're just like, we're doing a, like, drag, yeah,
I,
show.
Don't, I don't even, I was not even aware.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this is not, this is a comment on how the film handles it, not,
right, yeah.
Presentation.
Right.
Or, you know, like the characters, gender presentation is, right, what I mean by presentation. Until they break down, and, you know, this is a scene where Tick is eating Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
And Bernadette has a bowl of pills.
Yeah.
And Tick says, take your hormones.
Yeah.
Well, somebody will drive past for sure. We'll keep the fire burning.
Yes, and toast marshmallows and chill champagne for when they arrive. What if they don't drive past?
Look, you're not helping here. Just eat your hormones.
Hell, why didn't we stick to the main road?
And then from then on, there's a couple times where she gets referred to as a transsexual.
Yeah.
But before that, I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't,
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be the case. And which, again, I'm not. That normalizes it in a way,
right,
that,
yeah,
is,
yeah.
I like.
And it. I like kind of the joke of that, like, of like how, like, it's not. You don't just like wake up and suddenly you're a woman or something like that. Or like you don't just put on a dress and you're a woman, which if you wear a dress and you identify, that's fine. That can be the first step. That's fine. What I'm saying is like, it's often oversimplified to like, if you decide that you want to be a woman, all you have to do is put on a dress and then that's, yes, it. But the way, like, the joke being that she has a breakfast of hormones,
mm-hmm,
you know, it's like, it's funny to me as someone who's taken hormones,
right,
that it is a whole process. It is a whole thing. And to make light of it feels kind of nice. Like,
right,
you're, but they're not making fun of the fact that she's taking hormones. They're making fun of the fact that That's her breakfast.
Right. That's what it takes.
Right. And like, and so like making, you know, sort of the joke being like, it's a lot of work, you know,
right.
I guess. Or like the joke being like, it's, you know, a bowl of pills is her breakfast. At first I didn't get it. I thought this was like, you know, like whatever you call it, like Russian roulette or whatever, where you just like have a bowl of pills and you just pick right. one and decide have. I never in a million years, I don't know how people do that because not even remotely. I don't even want to take something that I know what it'll do to me.
That's true. You're very, like,
I don't.
You're very pill adverse.
It's true. Also, I don't like feeling like
control.
Yeah. I don't want to like when people are like I saw something that was like, I don't remember if I sent it to you or not, or if I, whatever, but it was like a thing that was like, you shouldn't take acid. They were like, don't take acid. They're like, I'm going to show you what it's like. And then it was like a garden hose and it was just like moving around and they're like, oh God, they're like, it's moving. What's it doing? Oh no. Is it supposed to do that? They're like, okay, that's what being on acid is like. They're like, everything is acting weird. They're like, it's horrible. Don't do it. And I was like, thank you. Cause people be like, you should just try acid. And I'm like, I shouldn't.
Yeah.
You can. I shouldn't. I can't have my reality questioned because that's not going to help me. That's going to send me into psychosis. I don't know if you know much, but it can help people. It can also make people worse. So that 50-50 is not, like, that's okay. It can help people with.
You're both right.
Yeah. It can help people with depression. It can.
It can send, it can send Helen Hunt out a window in a.
Helen Hunt. Helen Hunt?
Yeah.
What are you referencing?
After school special she was in.
Oh.
She ran out through a window.
Oh. Angel dust?
The best. My brother brought it home from college. They ripped off a veterinarian.
A motion picture that chronicles the abusive and dangerous effects of teenage drug use. Starring Diana Scarwood, Doug McKeon, Helen Hunt, and Sam Bottoms. Desperate Lives.
Art Carney or whatever, his daughter.
She is?
No, that's it. Also,
oh, that actually happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe it's not Art Carney, but whatever. I always reference this.
That's right.
I do.
You do. Well, no, I wouldn't say always.
Because my mom read me his like autobiography, so I knew all about, yeah. I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't, for school, I think. Fuck the classics. Let's read that. Homeschooling. It's what's I had. Anyway, this movie. Hang on. I want to read this trivia because it's so well written. I love IMDb trivia. It's so knowledgeable in all the things that it says.
We should actually get a sponsorship.
From IMDb, it's true. We should.
From IMDb trivia.
Specifically, the American film Tu Wong Fu Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, which was released over a year later, has a very similar plot, which led to accusations that it was just a blatant ripoff of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Trivia.
Zing.
And also, it's like, it's not, actually.
There are more blatant ripoffs.
Yeah.
In film history.
Right. I'm like, I mean, yes, it's.
Also, that's too close together.
Yeah.
For them to.
Right.
Well, I don't know. Little Witches came out like.
Yeah. Half
2 seconds after The Craft. Yeah. And that was on purpose.
Well, it was also. Right. But it was also. Had the production value as
right. though that, it came out. Yeah, right. It was made in 2 weeks.
Yeah. I will say this. I think something. So the thing I like about Tu Wong Fu.
I mean, they're. It's kind of an insult to both films. I mean, correct. Of course, they have some very similar things. There's not a whole lot of movies about three drag queens on a road trip.
Right, exactly. Right.
So, touche.
I think
the DS9 and Babylon 6 have a lot in common, superficially.
My dad always liked to say DS6 because he thought it was fun.
He thought it was dad fun. Always liked to say DSL.
No, he didn't. So, the thing I like about Tuong Fu is that there's a lot of, well, the list in it is great, where he's just checking the list. Do you remember?
No.
Chris Penn is scratching off the list.
Tuong Fu, yes. Hilarious. Like, where do homos hang out? He's a great foil. He's the Jackie Gleason.
Right.
From Smokey and the Bandit or whatever?
Sure, yeah, we'll say that.
Who are you chasing? Somebody chasing you?
Nobody's chasing me, boy. I've been chasing a goddamn maniac all the way from Texarkana, Texas.
Totally, I've seen it, and I know what you're talking about. But he, like, the movie is very
coming
much like...
season 5.
Is very much like...
Burt Reynolds Fest.
The movie, Tuong Fu, is very much like... the message of sort of you don't want to, like, you can't judge a book by its cover, like a woman, like what makes someone a woman is not how feminine they act or whatever, but you shouldn't, I don't know. It's just like, it's all this stuff of like, there is a lot of female empowerment in Tuong Fu and it's about self-love more than it is about anything else, you know, and like the message is very much like self-love isn't just about treating yourself good. It's also about treating yourself the way, like not only doing things for yourself, but also doing things for other people. Like that's an act of self-love too. So it's like, you know, there's a lot of, you know, but like with Priscilla, it felt like the message is more, is less about like, you know, it's more about having fun. And there wasn't like, it didn't feel as much as like there's an underlying message of like, you know, you have to, it's basically like, you don't need, you know, because the whole thing is that Tick is married with a kid.
Right.
And that's pretty much it. Like that's the big, there's no one's after them. No one.
Oh, but they face,
you know,
real threats.
They face real threats, but they're not like hiding away from people. They're not like trying not to. They're going, like Tick is is like literally on a road trip to come to terms with all of this stuff that he's not actually ready to come to terms with. So there's a lot of like, it's a similar, like, yeah, three people are on a road trip, but it's not really, it's not the same because it's like, a lot of the Tuong Fu is like happenstance and Priscilla is like purposeful, more, like more purposeful and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guess that's true.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think the costumes, I will say this, I think the costumes are way more impressive in Priscilla than they are in Tuong Fu. Because in Tuong Fu, it felt like they were trying to dress them like women, which is fine, but like just like contemporary looking women, which again, that's fine. But I felt like in Priscilla, they made a very specific effort to go over the top and be like very campy and very dramatic and very obvious and very blatant and very, you know, just, I mean, they did not shy away from the camp at all. And like the flip flop dress, the fucking plastic wig.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, like all that shit. The fucking, the weird, like, you know, bell bottom pants with like the flap. What in?
Yeah, I know.
All this shit was like so weird and so over the top. And I loved it. I was
like
that
it's all, I mean, like, Tuong Fu, I feel like you see a lot of. I don't remember scenes of them working on costumes necessarily.
Right.
I think there is, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like there's a sewing machine, and they definitely have lots of fabric.
Well,
with
they
them.
Do the thing where they decorate the room, and it's just them throwing things, and then them magically like sticking to the wall.
So good.
Like very obviously shot in reverse of them just pulling it off the wall.
I love
which
it.
I love.
But in this one, like, you do see them doing, I think it's funny because anytime they're on the bus, somebody's doing hand sewing. Yeah. Like,
and Lord, like, know. There's a sewing machine. And I love the fact that, like there's one scene where Tick is, like, literally on a sewing machine in the fucking back of the bus and shit like that. Okay. It's so fucking funny. And, like, they have
their costumes seem more handmade.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, right. That's not a...
Oh, no. Yeah. They seem more custom made. Like, it seems, like, customized. That's what I was saying. Like,
there's no way you're buying these weird leg things.
Exactly.
They all have for some reason.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and the fact that fucking Felicia's ass is out throughout, like, 90% of the film is so fucking funny to me. Guy Pierce, you know? That... It's just... His ass is shown through at least 50% of the movie, and that's hilarious to me. They all show half of their cheeks, their cheek meat, on a Thursday afternoon.
Oh, no.
double cheeked up. Yeah, at the one at the end, like, that when they're doing the performance at the end. It's not the final performance, but okay. It's close to the end, like, where they're doing, like, the drag show for everyone. It's, like, the first... time.
You mean the actual job?
Yeah, the actual job. Yeah. And there's, like, one where they all turn around and their butts are out.
It was pointed out in Matt Baum's video that, like, all their costumes are Australia. So you get the Sydney Opera House thing, the emus.
Okay.
The first thing they do is apparently meant to mimic a native flower.
Okay.
And then the lizards are...
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's like a really, won an Oscar for an Academy Award for, like, best costume design. And it's, like, the only movie that is not a period piece to have won.
Ever?
A costume design. Yeah.
Wow.
I guess. I mean, that's what the trivia on IMDb said. So.
Okay. Hmm.
I know, but I'm surprised.
Oh, and apparently the two places they stop, you know, like the...
Yeah.
The one where he's wearing the flip-flop dress.
Yeah.
And then the mining town, those are real towns.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I feel like... In Tu Wong Fu, they do the thing of, like... They do the same thing of, like, you know, sort of trans panic where they think, you know, the cop thinks Patrick Swayze is a woman and then, you know, feels her up and then, you know, they attack him and they're like, oh, no, we have to run and hide or whatever. And then in Priscilla, it's Felicia gets, like, high or whatever and then dresses up like a girl and then just... goes around the town after she's worn, like, it's not a safe place to go. Like, people aren't going to be understanding or nice to you here. And she goes out and just tries to, like, start shit, basically, I guess.
Yeah.
And like, it's very, I felt like this scene was really a lot more impactful.
Yeah.
And
it feels more graphic.
Yeah.
Specifically because they're like, hold her down.
Spread
her legs.
Yeah.
His legs. Sorry.
It's fine.
Gender's hard.
I know.
So that is, yeah.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
And like the scene afterwards where she's just crying.
Yes.
And Bernadette is like, says like, the reason why I can fight is because I had to.
Right.
You know, and so it's this thing where, like, because what happens is Guy Pierce's character basically starts shit with the wrong guys and they go after him and they try to attack him. And then Bob it, like, it's Bob's friends that Felicia.
It's unclear to me.
With.
Maybe this is referenced because. Apparently, I did miss a couple things, but, like, he seems to know these guys.
Yeah, he says that. Yeah, when he arrives town, they're like, they're like, we're gonna go here, and right. He's like, oh, I'm gonna meet up with the guys over at this place.
Right, but I don't unclear how he knows them. or why?
Because he said, I think he like had been there before. He like lived, I don't know. He's lived all over is, I think, what you're supposed to be.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So Bob, who's just this mechanic that hitches a ride with him, he, you know, he tries to stop the fight and they're like, we're going to kick your ass too. And then Bernadette comes along and just, you know, kicks the dick off of the guy. And, you know, and then, you know, Felicia's just crying in the room and she's beat up and Bernadette is like,
come on. Don't let it drag you down. Let it toughen you up. I can only fight because I've learned to. Being a man one day and a woman the next is not an easy thing to do.
And so that happened. So, yeah, I think we should reflect on what was said in that clip.
Well, I do like that she, I think it's in that scene where Bernadette says the thing about, like, you know, we may not feel, you know, cities provide a weird safety.
Yeah.
And I like that because that's definitely true. Or I've
and
felt
she,
that.
Well, she said, yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, you know, it's something like.
We all sit around mindlessly slagging off that vile stinkhole of a city. But in its own strange way, it takes care of us. I don't know if that ugly wall of suburbia has been put there to stop them getting in or us getting out.
I was going to say, apparently this was Sydney in the mid-90s was notorious for being really rough.
Yeah.
Wow. And specifically, first of all, very, it was the most gay, it had the most gay population.
Oh, wow. In Australia?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think so.
I
could be wrong. But just definitely known to have a gay, gayborhood. You know, and like,
yeah,
so safe in that way, but also, I think the quote, the stat that was quoted was something like 4 gay men killed a year. And then later, apparently someone I don't know if they reopened cases or what, but then there was evidence that like there were actually gangs that hunted queer men.
Horrible.
Yeah. So.
Horrible.
It's one of those. Yeah. So it's.
Yeah.
That's very
yeah.
much like.
Yeah. And like, you know, I definitely think that showing how, like showing violence against queer people is like, it's a balance. Like.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it, but like in the movies in the, like in movies in the 90s, I have a lot more grace for it because it was trying to show you the reality of what being queer was,
right.
You know, it was very, and it was much more prevalent. And I feel like now, in this day and age, it's also very important to talk about. I feel like it doesn't get talked about in the ways that it needs to be talked about now, you know, like the people that are harmed the most are Black trans women.
Yes.
And the majority of like homophobia, and fear around queerness is a lot of times rooted in transphobia. You know, like I'm not a girl, I'm not feminine. Like that idea of like transitioning or you know, gender, any sort of like gender, you know, questionability is seen as a threat and something to be taken, you know, out of the picture essentially. So I think, you know, showing. That's another reason why I think having Bernadette as a trans woman along with them is an interesting choice because it's like they're all sort of facing different things but under the same threat at the same time. So it's like I think it's important to show and like they're all at risk for the same things, like, you know. Bernadette wasn't safer in that situation. She just chose to be the one to fight back, you know, and had the upper hand in the moment, but not because of who she was or her, you know,
some kind of privilege.
Yeah. Right. Or her proximity in the world, just like literally because she also, I like the guy kept being, what was he saying? Like, you want to fuck me like, or something?
Fuck me.
Come fuck me. And I'm like, that doesn't sound as threatening as you.
I know.
Methinks thou dost protest too much.
Right. I know.
But yeah, it's definitely like, it's one of those things where like it can, I think on the outside, you can look at Tu Wong Fu and this movie and be like, oh, they're the same movie. And they're really not. No. They're so different.
But I also feel less guilty about conflating them for so long. Sure. Especially before watching them.
Yeah. Honestly, the fact that I never really heard about Priscilla.
Oh, yeah.
For a while.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really know about it until I was grown up. But Tu Wong Fu was something that I saw as a teenager. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. I'm surprised. I'm always surprised when I'm like, yes, I saw this rated R movie that is kind of progressive as a teen or young person. It's like, yeah. What?
I remember having, I mean, it wasn't a lot to get a hold of, but in the late 90s, you know, when I was seeking out independent film and whatnot, mid to late 90s.
Yeah.
I remember being enamored with Australian film. Like, Strictly Ballroom was one that came out around that time.
Oh, is that a queer film?
No, not really. Okay. It's just Australian.
Oh, you said Australian, didn't you?
I mean, queer films too. I was seeking out. Sorry. Anything that seemed like it was. But also Flirting.
Flirting. Fuck.
With Nicole Kidman.
Oh, I don't know it. Yeah. Or I haven't seen it, I mean.
Strictly Ballroom might actually be a. Or one of them might be. New Zealand.
I
guess that's, Jane Campion had the New Zealand market.
Course. Yeah, she did. Yeah. I have to be honest and say that I've never had any sort of appeal or draw to Australia.
Yeah.
Even though
Strictly Ballroom was 1982.
Oh, even though for a short time I was going to be moving to Australia. Oh, that's right. That was a chapter of my life I don't like to think of. Oh, but
directed by?
Jane Campion?
Baz Luhrmann.
Oh, of course. God damn it. I knew that.
Also starring Bill Hunter, who played Bob in Priscilla.
Oh, shit. He also was in Muriel's Wedding.
Yeah, okay. He's very familiar.
Yeah.
And he's great.
Yes, he's great. But yeah, the appeal of Australia never appealed to me. Like, Australia is like a desert surrounded by water, and there's nothing about it that's appealing to me. Like, I don't understand why people are like, Australia, ooh la la. Like, it's like you have desert and insane bugs and giant spiders.
Yeah, well, for me, it's more about, I think, the cultural, you know, I have a similar thing with British stuff or Canadian even, but like, you know, like we're cousins.
Yeah.
It's fascinating to me to see, you know, Australia is the most exotic just because it's the furthest and.
Yeah.
But also I don't know why, maybe the desert aspect of it is
I always see it, and this is going to come off sounding really like xenophobic or something, but I always feel like what I see as an American about Australia is very much like how, like, in a similar way, how like Appalachia is
portrayed,
thank you. I was like, performed? That's not right. It's portrayed in and a lot of the ways that I grew up with, like a lot of like, you know, you make things from scraps and you don't really have resources and there's not, you know, like everything is, you know, and that's always the appeal and the charm. And I'm like, that's what I'm trying to get away from.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But so, I didn't know there was never like a romanticization of Australia because I always felt like I'm trying to get away from that kind of lifestyle. Like, I don't really want to go there. That I know that that's not how everything is, but that's always how like the sort of
right. That's the image.
Yeah, and I'm like. It's okay. Also,
it's somewhat romantic to me, but not in the way that like, oh, I want what they have. But,
right. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like, I relate to it. I'm like, that's more interesting to me. It's not like, I don't know how to explain it. Cause it's definitely like, I know it's not realistic or like, oh, that'd be fun to do that. I don't know. Something about it relates. I relate to it, but not like, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But
it's just never there. Like, it always seems like the things that are most unappealing to me are things like California, not appealing at all. Because
I know. And I think that's what it is. It's like,
and I have no desire to be there.
See something about my upbringing. It reminds me of that.
Right.
So it's kind of nostalgic through a mirror, you know, like, so it's that way. It's like, oh, you're a relative that
I
like.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
No, I get it. I'm just talking about just for myself. Like,
no, I know. I'm trying to defend, like, or not defend.
Well.
Define my.
I just feel like it's.
Paul Hogan sucks.
What does that have to do with?
He's Australian.
Paul.
Was. Crocodile Dundee.
Oh my God.
Who are you thinking of? Paul Hulk Hogan?
Yes. I do like Crocodile Dundee and Crocodile Dundee 2. I do enjoy those
back
movies.
To the he's apparently a piece of shit.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck. Not surprising at all. But yeah. With a tan like that. that's something that's like I'm glad. Well, I shouldn't say I'm glad it hasn't like come over to the now, because now people just do fake tan, but like that whole like going outside and getting super tan and using tanning oil and then your skin turning to leather as soon as you hit like 50, all your skin is coming off of the bones because you burned it your entire life. Like, I'm glad that that's not really a thing anymore. Unfortunately, we have fake tan now, so people are getting that same orangey glow of hellscape without having to go into the sun. My favorite thing is watching people do like makeup, and they put fake tan everywhere but their face. So, and then they wear makeup to match, so their hands will literally be like five shades darker than their actual pale white ass face.
What?
I know, it's horrifying and confusing.
Definitely confusing.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, so you want to talk about some race dynamics in this movie?
Oh my God.
I feel mixed. I don't know. Being not from the continent and being white, I mean, it seems
definitely
like
don't
the,
portray Asian stuff very well.
The portrayal of indigenous folks seems fine,
yeah.
It doesn't seem, I mean, it's quasi, I don't know, something. You know, it doesn't feel awesome, but it also feels real.
I liked, what I didn't like about it was that there were no actual characters in the movie that were indigenous.
the one guy.
But he wasn't a character. He just came over and was like,
pretty much.
And all he I think really mostly what he said was, welcome to my office, sit down or something like that, whatever he said, which was like barely audible. And then he's the one dancing with them, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That was fun. I loved that part. And then he just disappears and you don't see him again. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And he's not, he just like takes them to town or whatever.
Right.
And that's it. Right. So that's cool.
I know.
I'm like, okay. So that was, I was like, okay, they're not necessarily portrayed in a bad way, but there's no actual characters, and they're just here, you know, and they're, and it's the thing
of...
It's the thing of, like, I just want to say this. Mm-hmm. Sorry. It's like, the brown people will save us.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's also...
You're right.
Oh, there's nothing out here worse.
Yeah.
Out here, and there's... Yeah, but and then it's like, no, actually.
Yeah, that's right. yeah, for sure.
I like that aspect of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's not, yeah, it's almost like, why bring it up kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I don't feel great about the musical mashup that happens.
Oh, what is it?
I don't remember what the song is, but
Survive.
Then there's like didgeridoo and people singing along with.
I kind of enjoyed it.
I mean, musically, I don't hate it, but like, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's Unity.
Ah! I didn't feel it quite like that. I just thought, oh, this is a version I haven't heard before.
Yeah.
So it was less.
Yeah, and then Cynthia is the name of the character who is married to Bob.
Go back inside.
Lemonade, here, make lemonade forgets.
No, darling, please.
What going on? I made chocolate cracker.
And, you know, this wasn't terribly surprising to me. In Matt Baum's video, he's talking about, like, he was like, it made me really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And apparently the guy who directed also wrote it.
Yeah.
And he was like, it was meant to be a critique of stereotypes.
What?
I guess I can see that you were trying that, sort of, but... Doesn't read that way. And again, this might be a cultural thing. Like, if I were Australian, I might.
Yeah. I tried looking up, about the sort of, like, I'm like, is this, like, because I don't, I have heard of, like, ping pong, the ping pong joke. Like, I think it's the South Park movie where Winona Ryder, it's supposed to be Winona Ryder. I don't think it's voiced by Winona Ryder, but she's like, and now for the ping pong trick. And you see from, like, the audience's perspective, just her knees and, like, ping pong balls just, like, flying into the audience. And it's just going on and people are just like, and then it cuts to her. Just sitting with her legs up, just hitting ping pongs with a ping pong thing into the audience. Nice. That's all it is.
Nice.
So I was like, oh, okay. I was like, oh, that's what the, like, okay. So it's obviously a thing, you know, that people do this or whatever. And that's the joke, is that's not what's happening. But that's really all I knew about it was from South Park making a joke about that not being what's happening.
Uh-huh.
So I like tried to Google it this morning and it's a whole thing. I guess it's like, I'm assuming because every time I looked it up, it was like ping pong shows. Mm-hmm. It's like a ping pong show. And it like says it like the Thai word for it. This. So I'm like, oh, okay. I guess it's like a Thai. It like originates in Thai. And it's like, it's definitely.
That's definitely what I've heard it associated with.
So I'm like, also, but I couldn't really find anything. It was like, here's what my experience at a ping pong show was like. And I'm like, no, I don't. No, thanks. That's not what I'm looking for.
Also, I believe there's one that's like peeling a banana or like squeezing out a banana out of its peel. But anyway, her ethnicity is not explicit, explicit.
Yeah.
Like you have the flashback scene of him waking up and there's like a painting with like.
Yeah.
Asian boats, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Given that her name is Julia Cortez is the actor's name, I assume she's Filipino and Matt Baum's, or I wondered, and then Matt Baum's video, he says, I didn't feel great about this, but then I reached out to some Filipino folks.
Yeah.
And asked their opinion and they were like, yeah, you know, of course it's problematic, but again, you know, like it's one of those things that's visibility. So, and she's headstrong.
Yeah.
She's... you know, the movie does not the characters in the movie don't treat her well, right? Pretty dehumanizing.
Yeah.
But she leaves on her
right,
own.
Right, I was going to say, but she's like, fuck this, I don't like it.
Yeah, and apparently it is reflective of somewhat of a cultural phenomenon in Australia okay. where Australian men abroad would get
yeah.
married to, I don't know if specifically in the Philippines, but...
Yeah.
And then they would come home with them and yeah. find that their life was not what they right, thought it was.
Right, yeah. So that's kind
of... I mean,
I
think that's true of a lot of... I mean, in the U.S., of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's just marriage in general. People will be like, my life will be better when I add another person to the mix. Well, yes. It's like that. Yeah. When people get married and haven't lived together before they get married and decide to get married and move in together, like, after their wedding day, y'all are crazy. Y'all are you should live together for at least 3 years before you decide if you even want to stay. I'm not into marriage, but I'm just saying if there's lots of reasons to get married that aren't like to show we love each other, you know, but you should not just get married to someone that you don't live with if you plan to move in with them after you get married.
I don't want to have sex or live with the person before I get married.
Ugh.
I don't even eat together or make food yeah. for that person.
Until we get married, you have to buy your own food.
Correct.
I absolutely refuse to do anything for you. You're not my property yet, so I'm not going to be treating you like property Correct. Until you're my property. So marry me or get the fuck out. Yeah, if you're going
to
come
Bitches
over...
Bitches always want me to be taking them out on dates.
If you're going to come over... You're going to need to start paying me for the parking space that you're using yeah. to be here. I know that I don't have a car. No, I don't have a car.
I'm not
using
it,
my
but...
parking space. You have to pay rent to me for that parking space because we're not fucking married. You're not on the lease. Fuck you. Anyway.
100.
Do you suck dick? I'm funny.
What? I think... A complaint or a struggle I had with the film mm-hmm. is why they're so shady to each other just from the get-go. Like, I would have liked at least one scene about, like, why Bernadette doesn't like Felicia. You know, like, I wouldn't like Felicia either. Right. I'm sure being on a bus with any two people, I would hate their guts after
For sure.
4 hours.
Yep.
Much less...
Yep.
2 weeks.
Yep.
But, you know, it's like them locking her out.
I know.
The first night they camp or whatever. I'm like, why? That's unnecessary.
I know.
And like, yeah. I can extrapolate, you know, given yeah. personalities, but there's no scene to establish it.
These birds need to calm the fuck down.
But also to its credit, this movie just
yeah
starts.
Oh, for
it does
sure.
not waste
yeah, yeah,
any
yeah.
time.
Yeah. Would you recommend?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you've never seen it.
Yeah.
Any semi to good to positive.
yeah.
Representation of queerness.
Yeah.
From the '90s, I'm gonna
right.
earlier. I'll recommend.
Yeah.
Apparently, this movie. Like, in Australia, it had a big impact.
No surprise.
There's still shows, tribute shows to the movie,
wow.
like drag shows and stuff.
Amazing.
And the first place, it's called, like, Bootlick or whatever, the first town they stop in.
yeah.
because of the movie, it now has an annual drag parade.
Oh, my God, that's so cool.
Which they never had before.
That's so cool. Yeah. Oh, my God, I love that. Yeah, yeah that's stuff like that is, like, really cool. And I feel like... Stuff like that is so, like, yeah, I don't know. I like the fact that it doesn't take itself super seriously. I like the fact that it's a lot of fun. I like the fact that it isn't a perfect film.
Right.
You know, it's not trying to be a perfect film. It's trying to be yeah. funny, and it's trying to be about a specific thing. And I feel like it does that really well. And I really enjoyed everyone's performance. I think Guy Pearce yeah. goes over the top slightly, but also I've met that person before, you know?
Yeah, right.
We've all met him.
Oh, yeah, I don't think
We've all met him.
I don't think he's exaggerated at all.
No, he's not exaggerated, but I mean, like, his performance is exaggerated, which is...
Well, that's another thing about his character that I would have liked if, like, yeah, I know this person that goes out and starts trouble.
Exactly.
Because...
Right. Because they're white.
They have issues.
Because they're a white man.
Well...
Well, I do like
the
fact... I
was thinking more because they...
Well, I like that the one person that constantly starts trouble, gets them all into trouble, and is the most annoying is the one that comes for money and has the most privilege out of all of them. And I think that, like, that's something that, like, a lot of times, especially I think in the U.S. in the 90s, that probably wouldn't have been something that happened. Like, the richest person wouldn't be the most outrageous person. They'd be the one that's like, I'm so docile and don't know anything, and I'm, you know, I was so sheltered because I'm rich, you know. But that's not at all what's happening. It's like, it's a very clear statement that, like, he's never had to struggle, so he has to create struggle you know, for himself. And I've specifically met that gay.
Right. It makes things dangerous for everyone else.
Like, right.
He may not care about his own safety, but,
right? But
like when they're in the first town and he calls dead names Bernadette, in public,
right? Yeah, and she beats the shit out of him. Apparently, when they, like, the director or something had them all dress in drag or dress in women's clothes, I can't remember. Like, I don't remember if they went in full drag or if they were just dressed like women, you know, because there's a slight difference.
Sure.
And he took them all out drinking.
Okay.
And I can't remember what Guy Pearce did. He was, like, the most outrageous, like, was getting... Oh, he started walking up to people and antagonizing them. Terrence Stamp completely forgot he was in drag and started hitting on women.
Nice.
And Hugo Weaving ended up under a table with his eyes closed, just tapping to the music, like, on the table.
So it's me.
And then, and so I guess in the scene, like, after that, like, when they all get really trashed in the bar, in the scene, like, they, like, kind of, like, when they come back in the room, like, Hugo Weaving is just like,
Yeah.
So it was inspired by how they actually reacted to, anyway, that was funny.
What?
I'm just annoyed by the truck sounds and I'm trying to, I feel like I was going to say something and I forget Yeah, I would definitely recommend. I definitely would recommend this movie. I think it's fun. I think it takes itself seriously in places that it should. I think it doesn't. I think it's really, and I really like the way that it talks about sort of, like, sexuality a little bit.
Yeah.
When like, Tick is so scared that his kid is going to find out that he's a gay drag queen. And he's like, oh my God, he could never know. Which is really kind of sweet because the kid's just like, yeah, I know. Yeah, whatever. And he's like, do you have a boyfriend? And he's like, no. And he's like, why not? You know, and he's just like, and when he's talking to Felicia, the kid, and he's like,
does he have a boyfriend at the moment?
And he says, mom had a girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. She got tired of her.
Yeah,
or
whatever.
Like,
and it's like, I love that it's just like, it's very, very blatantly showing that, like, something that you see in every new generation is, like, the things that you had to worry about are not the things that these kids are having to worry about. Like, this kid has queer parents. So he's not going to be in that same situation of, like, fear and questionability, you know, like, oh, what am I, can I tell people? He's
like
not going to care.
Olivia Benson's kid is bi.